Hi everyone, today's parak of Rambam is the 21st chapter of Hilchos Yisurei Bia. In this parak, the Rambam will discuss other prohibitions surrounding sexual impropriety, aside from actually having forbidden relations. Halacha Aleph. Kol ha'bal erva min arayos, derech ivarim, o shechivi v'nishik derech taiva v'nena b'kir basar, hariz et lokum min ha'torah. If somebody has physical intimacy with a person who is an erva to him, either hugging or kissing in a way which they derive pleasure from the closeness of their flesh, in that circumstance, one receives lashes on a biblical level. Shneamar, levelti asos mechugos atoyevos. Shneamar, lo zikru legalos erva. Kolomar, lo zikru ledvarim amavim lidei gilo erva. The Pasuk tells us they must refrain from performing any of these abominable acts that the nations around us would do, and we should not come close to revealing nakedness. In other words, you should not do things which will ultimately lead to erva itself. Halacha Beis. Ha'os davar mechugos elu, harehu chashar al raz. In fact, if somebody does perform any of these acts, then they are suspected that they might actually engage in forbidden relations. But asr l'adam likrot b'yadav, f'raglav, olirmos b'einav l'achas min arayos, olis l'okima, olahakel rosh. It is forbidden for a person to wink or to motion with his eyes or his hands, his feet, to somebody who is an erva to him, or to act in a joking manner or a frivolous manner with her. V'afilu l'ariach b'samim she'aleha, olahabit b'yafia asr. Even to simply smell the fragrance which is upon her, or to gaze at her beauty is forbidden. Umak in lemiskavin the davarzeh makas maris, and we administer lashes on a rabbinic level to somebody who intends to do this. Mistakel afilu beetzba ketana shel isha miskavin lehanos k'mishin mistakel b'makom haTorah. In fact, if somebody gazes at even the small finger of a woman in order to derive pleasure from it, it is as if he looked at the private part of her body. Afilu lishmoa kol ha'erva olero sara asr, even to hear the voice of a woman who is an erva to him, or to see her hair, is also forbidden. Halacha Gimel. V'advar ma'elu asur b'chabilav. Now, these same items just listed are also forbidden, not only by an erva, but also with somebody who is simply prohibited as a negative prohibition. U'motra l'estaka b'fnei ha'pnuya, v'l'badka v'im esula v'im u'la, k'dei sh'ira im hi'na v'inav, y'z'ena, v'im b'zet tzad iser, v'l'od, el'ashroi l'asos kain. Now, the Rambam notes, it's permitted for somebody to look at a single girl to see whether or not he would like to marry her, whether she's fitting in his eyes, whether she's beautiful. This is true whether she is a virgin or not a virgin. And there's no problem with that at all. In fact, it's appropriate to do that. However, abo lo yistako derech sanus, he should not gaze at her in a licentious fashion. Hayu omer, the Pasuk says, bris karati leinai, umas bonan albasula. That the Pasuk says that I established a covenant with my own eyes that I would not look at a maiden. Halacha dalet. However, it is permitted for a man to gaze at his wife while she is in a state of being a menstruant, even though that qualifies as an erva. Even though he derives benefit from that by seeing her, since ultimately she will be permitted to him once again, then there's no cause for concern. However, he shouldn't flirt with her, joke with her in a way which might ultimately lead to sin. Halacha hei. Asher l'shtamish b'isha klal, bein gdola, bein ktana, bein shifcha, bein mishachareres, shema yabal lidei hir her. It is forbidden for a man to have a woman serve him. It doesn't matter which type of woman, whether she's an adult, a child, whether she's a maidservant, or a freed slave, because that might lead to forbidden thoughts. Beis ha'shimush amru. Now, what did they mean when Chazal said that he cannot have her serve him? Rechitas panav yadav ragla, vatsas mita lefanav mitzigas kos. And three that we are familiar with regards to the laws of Anita, that she cannot wash his face and hands and feet, or make his bed in front of him, or mix his drink. She ain't osat lish dvarim elu el ishto bavad, because the only one who does this for a man is his wife. Ve'ein sho'al mishalom isha klal, v'afi la'ayde shliach. Moreover, we don't send a greeting to a woman at all, even through a messenger. Halacha vav. V'chavik achas min arayos, she'ein libo she'olim nogfu alehen, o she'nisha kal achas mehen, kigon achos v'agdola v'achos imo kiyot v'hen, if one either hugs or kisses one of the various arayos where he doesn't really feel a desire towards them, such as his older sister or the sister of his mother or the like, even though there's no desire, no derivation of benefit whatsoever, nonetheless, this is something which is exceptionally degrading, the Rambam says, and it is forbidden, and it is an act of fools. Because we don't approach, we don't come close to an erva at all, whether she's an adult, whether she's a child, aside from a mother to her son, and a father to his daughter. Hachazayin, Ketzah, the Rambam now illustrates those points. Mutar av l'chavik bito l'nashka shishanimo b'kirev asr. A father is permitted to hug or kiss his daughter and to sleep with her, in the literal sense, even with their bodies touching. And so too with a mother and her son, as long as they are minors. If the children grow up to the point where they've reached physical maturity, then they can no longer sleep together if the father and daughter or the mother and son aren't dressed. In that case, they must sleep together only if they are wearing clothing. And even if the children are still minors, they haven't developed to this point of physical maturity. But if the daughter were either married, or even if not, but she'd be embarrassed to stand naked before her father, or if the mother would be embarrassed to stand naked in front of her son, in that circumstance as well, they can only sleep together if they are wearing clothes. Halacha ches. Nashem hasolo zubazu aser. Remaisa mitzrayim hu, shesharnu alav, shenemar, kimas eret mitzrayim, lo zasu. If women were to have relations one with another, that is forbidden as well, and that is considered an act of the Egyptians that we were warned against. As the Pasuk says, like the land of Mitzrayim's actions you should not do. Amru chacham, mehayosim, what did they do in the land of Mitzrayim? Ish no say ish, v'isha no say isha, v'isha niseis v'shnei anashim. A man would marry a man, a woman would marry a woman, and a woman would marry two men. Afal pi shemais zeh aser, ein malkin lav. However, the Rambam now notes that even though this act is forbidden, nonetheless one does not receive lashes for this. She'ein lo lav miyuchad, aharei ein sham v'yaklal. Because there's no designated prohibition for this particular act, and there's no actual act of relations at all. Accordingly, if a woman were to sleep with another woman, they would not become forbidden to marry a kohen because of this, as a zona, nor would this make a woman be forbidden to her husband if she had slept with another woman while she was married to her husband, because this is not defined as an act of licentiousness as zonos. However, it is fitting to administer lashes of rebellion to such individuals because they did something which was wrong. And accordingly, if a man is aware of the fact that his wife might be involved in such activities, he should insist that she stop, and she withhold women who are known to do this from entering into her house and from visiting her. The wife of a man is permitted to him. Accordingly, anything a man wishes to do with his wife, he is allowed to do. He's allowed to have relations whenever he wills, and he can kiss any part of her body that he desires. And he can have relations with her normally and abnormally, i.e. from the back. This is assuming he does not have a seminal emission for no purpose. However, nonetheless, it is the way of those who are pious to not become frivolous with such matters, and a man should sanctify himself at the time of having relations, as the Rambam has already explained earlier in Mishnah Torah. And a person should not deviate from the regular path of the world, the normal fashion of things, the way the world was designed, which is that the act of relations is intended for the sake of procreation. It's forbidden for a person to have relations by the light of a candle. If somebody found himself to be on Shabbos in a house which has light, there's a candle, and there's nowhere else for him to go, then he shouldn't have relations at all. Moreover, it's forbidden for a Jew to have relations during the day. Because it is something which is considered brazen. However, if the individual was a Talmud Chacham, who we're not concerned is going to be drawn into doing this too frequently, then he's able to darken the room, so to speak, by going under their covers and then have relations. And one only comes to do this if there's a great need. The way of holiness is to have relations in the midst of the night. Chazal did not derive any satisfaction from somebody who would have relations too frequently and would be found near his wife like a chicken. This is considered something very, very flawed and is an act of those who are brutes. Anybody, rather, who decreases the amount of relations that they have is considered pretty rudely. This is assuming that he will not nullify the fulfillment of the mitzvah of having relations with his wife in the appropriate time, unless, of course, his wife gives him permission. Note, in fact, the only reason why Chazal had initially decreed that somebody who had seen a seminal emission would be unable to learn Torah before they immersed in the mikvah was in order to help ensure that people minimize having relations. Moreover, Chazal forbade a person to have relations while thinking about another woman. Moreover, a husband should not have relations with his wife in a state of drunkenness, nor while they have been fighting, nor out of hatred, nor should he have relations with her against her will, and she is afraid of him. And he also should not have relations with her when one of the two of them is excommunicated, nor should he have relations with her once he has made up his mind that he wishes to divorce her. And if he does any of these things, the children who will be born will not be proper members of society. Ultimately, they will be brazen, and other ones of them will be rebellious and sinful. Similarly, Chazal said that any woman who is brazen and demands having relations openly, explicitly, with her own mouth, or if a man seduces a woman to marry her, or if one intends to sleep with one of his wives and ends up sleeping with another one of his wives, or if a woman did not wait the appropriate amount of time, 3 months, after her husband had passed away or had divorced her, and therefore the child who is born will be of unknown parentage, we don't know whether it's from the first husband or the second husband, in all these circumstances, the children who will be born will be the rebels and the sinners through whom the pain, the suffering of exile will have to purge and clean. Halacha Yud Dalet. And it's also forbidden for a person to have relations with his wife out in some open place, in the marketplace, in the streets, in the gardens, in the orchards. Rather, he should only have relations inside of a home, in a dwelling place, so that it shouldn't appear like an act of licentiousness, and then people will become used to doing such acts. In fact, if somebody has relations with his wife in one of these places, we administer lashes of rebellion. Similarly, if one betroths a woman, either through an act of relations, or out in the marketplace, or without having had pre-arranged this marriage, then in that circumstance, we administer lashes of rebellion as well. And somebody who's a guest is forbidden to have relations until he goes back to his home. Moreover, Chazal forbade a person who was living in the home of his father-in-law to have relations because this is considered brazen. Moreover, he also shouldn't enter into a bathhouse with his father-in-law. Similarly, a person is not supposed to enter into a bathhouse along with his father. Also, not with the husband of his sister. And also, not with his student. However, if he needed the aid of his student while he would go to the bathhouse, he's elderly, he's not unable to take care of him himself, then he is able to have the student enter. Now there are some places which have the custom not to allow two brothers to enter into a bathhouse at the same time either. A Jewish woman is not supposed to walk out into the marketplace with uncovered hair. This is true whether she is single or married. In addition, a woman is not supposed to walk out in the marketplace along with her son trailing behind her, because there is a concern that perhaps some lowly people will grab a hold of her son, she will follow after her son in order to get him back, and then they will take advantage of her, those that had grabbed him in an inappropriate way. Halacha Yud Ches. It's forbidden for a person to waste their sperm. Accordingly, a person should not engage in relations, and then after leaving the woman's body, ejaculate. Similarly, he is not supposed to marry a young girl who is not yet fit to carry children. That is regarding somebody who is at least engaged in the act of relations. But somebody who is not engaged in the act of relations at all, but rather just with their own hands, causes their sperm to leave their body. It is not enough that it's a terrible sin, but somebody who does this as well is going to be excommunicated. And about them, the pasuk says that your hands are filled with blood because it is if they had killed a person. It's also forbidden for a person to cause himself to become erect intentionally, or to bring himself to have inappropriate sexual thoughts. Rather, if a person finds himself having such thoughts, he should distract his mind from those thoughts and turn them towards the words of Torah. Because Torah is considered beloved. It's something which brings about favor. Accordingly, it's forbidden for a person to sleep on his back with his face upward directly. He needs to tilt a little bit to his side, in that way avoiding an erection. A person also should not gaze at any sort of animal at a time when the animals are engaging in relations. However, it is permitted for somebody who breeds livestock to take a male organ and stick it into a female organ, because since he's involved in his work, he's dealing with his own profession, so he's not going to come to sexual thought. And it's similarly forbidden for a man to stare at women as they're involved in doing the laundry, where they would have to be partially uncovered in those days. Even to stare at certain colored garments of a woman who he knows and he recognizes is forbidden, because there's a concern that he might come to have inappropriate sexual thoughts. If somebody encounters a woman out in the marketplace, it's forbidden for him to walk behind her. Rather, he should run ahead and either go off to the side of her or get her behind him. Anybody who walks behind a woman out in the market is considered amongst the lightest of the common people. And it's forbidden to pass even within 4 amos, roughly 8 feet, of the opening of the home of a woman who is a prostitute. As the pasuk says, you should not come close to the entrance of her home. And it's forbidden for somebody who's not married to stretch his hand down to his testicles because there's a concern that he might have forbidden thoughts. In fact, even below his belly button, he shouldn't stretch his hand because there's a concern, again, that he might have forbidden thoughts. And if he must urinate, he should not hold on to his organ and then urinate. However, if he's married, he's allowed to. However, whether he's married or not, he should never stretch his hand down to the organ there unless he needs to go to the bathroom. Amongst the pious men of the earlier generations and the greatest of the wise men, one of them took pride in the fact that he had never gazed at his bris milah. And another of them took pride in the fact that he had never focused on, he had never thought about his wife's physical body, because his heart was turned away from such silly, vain matters towards matters of truth, which grasp hold of the heart of those who are holy. Chazal had advised that somebody marry off his sons and daughters at an age when they are close to reaching physical maturity. Because if he were to leave them unmarried, they might come towards acts of licentiousness or at least to inappropriate thought. And about this, the pasuk says that you should check into your dwelling place and make sure that you not sin. And it's also forbidden to marry off a woman to a young child, because that is, in a certain sense, comparable to an act of licentiousness. It's not permitted for a man to live without a wife. He also should not marry a woman who is barren or too old to be able to carry children any longer. However, it's permitted for a woman never to get married or to marry somebody who is unable to bear children. A young man should not marry an older woman, and an old man should not marry a younger woman, because this will ultimately lead to acts of licentiousness. Similarly, one who has divorced his wife from the full stage of marriage should not live in the same general courtyard as her. In those days, there was a courtyard surrounded by houses, so he shouldn't live in one of the houses while she lives in another one, because there's a concern that this might lead to licentiousness. And if he was a Kohen, then he should not live in the same small street as her. And a small village counts as such an alleyway. If there was some claim the woman had on the man, then she should send a messenger to go and claim that debt back. In fact, if an ex-husband and ex-wife come to Beis Din together to claim some claim from one another, then we excommunicate them or administer lashes of rebellion. And if they'd only been divorced from the first stage of marriage, then it's permitted to claim money from him and to live in the same general chatzer. However, if they were quite intimate, not physically, but they were familiar with one another, then it is forbidden even if it was only from the first stage of marriage. Now, which one of them must leave in front of the other one? The woman must leave in front of him. If they had both been living in that same courtyard, she must leave. However, if the courtyard was owned by her, so then he is the one who is forced to move. It's forbidden for a man to marry a woman with his intent always from the onset to divorce her. As the Pasuk says, you should not be silent and plot evil against somebody who you love. You shouldn't allow her to sit comfortably with you while you plan to do this wrong. And if he told her, therefore, at the onset, that he was only intending to marry her for some period of time, so then it is permitted. A person also should not marry one woman in one country, another woman in another country, because there's a concern that if this goes on for a long time, a brother may end up marrying a sister, or the sister of his mother, or the sister of his father, without even knowing. However, if the individual was somebody who was very, very great, he was a person of stature, everybody recognized and knew, so in that circumstance, because his children will be well known and publicized to everyone, then it is permitted. A person also should not marry a woman from a family of people who have certain skin diseases or from problems with paralysis. This is assuming, though, that on three different times, the children from this family have been known to have this. If a woman had married two separate men and they had both died, she's not supposed to go and marry a third one. However, if she had gotten married, then she isn't forced to get divorced. And in fact, if he had already betrothed her, he should go ahead and fully marry her. Furthermore, somebody who is a regular member of Klal Yisrael and is an ignoramus, he's not supposed to marry the daughter of a Kohen, because that is like a desecration of the children of Aaron. And if he does go and marry them, Amrucham, Chazal said, their marriage won't end well. Either he'll die without having any children, or he or she will die very soon, or there'll be fighting between them. However, if there is a Talmud Chacham, it's very beautiful when he marries the daughter of a Kohen. This is something which is praiseworthy, because in that case, you have both Torah and Kuna together as one. Halach Lamed Beis, the final halach in the parak. Lo yisa adam bas ame ha'aretz, she'im meis ogola banav ame ha'aretz yu, she'ein imon yudas kesar Torah. A person should not marry the daughter of an ignorant individual, because if that man himself dies, or he is forced to run into exile, then his children will end up being ignorant themselves, because their mother does not recognize the splendor of the crown of Torah. Lo yasi bito la'am ha'aretz, she'kol ha'nozim bito la'am ha'aretz, kimi she'kvasa unsana lefnei ha'ari. Maka Uboel Vein Lo Boshes Panim. Furthermore, a person should not marry off his daughter to an ignorant man, because anybody who gives his daughter over to an ignorant man is as if he's tied her up and given her before a lion, who's just going to strike her and have relations with her without any shame. In fact, a person should sell anything that he has in order to ensure that he marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham, because in that case, if he dies or is forced into exile, then his children will end up being Talmud Chacham. Furthermore, a person should marry off his daughter to a Talmud Chacham, because there's nothing degrading, there's nothing which will lead to fighting in the home of a Talmud Chacham. Have a wonderful day.